listening to Real Talk on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
Well, we've had a few people on, amazing people actually, who are working to hold local councils to account. We had Dave Dyack on, who's on the Ōreti Community Board in Winton, and what he and his colleagues are doing. We had Mark Antrim on telling us about just sitting in on the meetings, seeking official information requests, and then writing letters to question and inform the council. And this morning we've got Frank Newman on, up in the north too. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning, Rodney.
Now, you're famous for being married to Muriel.
Yes, that's right.
Well, you do. She, you and her do great work on the webpage.
Well, we keep plugging away, and we've been doing it for a long time now. So,
just remind...
Yeah, it's all good fun, Rodney.
Remind listeners what the webpage is and what it does.
Muriel's site, so that's New Zealand Centre for Political Research. So Muriel writes a weekly column, you know, on political affairs. She's got quite a following now. And, yeah, so that's all good. And I do a whole bunch of things. I've been involved in local councils previously. I've been a councillor for a couple of terms up here in Whangarei. And I follow local councils, you know, pretty closely. It's my thing, really. And that's what really brought us to the letterbox, which is what we use now as a vehicle to communicate, you know, with the community.
And tell us how it works.
Yeah. So a couple of years ago, well, I'm a member of Democracy Northland, and a couple of years ago, when the Maori Wards issue came up, we organised petitions to force the councils basically into holding a referendum. While we were doing that process, we found that the local newspapers, they blocked us from placing the petition itself in their newspapers. Now, this is no editorial content whatsoever, simply the petition form, because we had to set about collecting 5% of registered electors, which was no small feat. So we wanted to distribute the petition forms as an insert into the local newspapers. Well, what we found is that they blocked us and they prevented us from doing so. They said it was inconsistent with the editorial policy.
Just hold that for a second. So
yeah.
The council that was proposing the wards, what council was it?
Yeah, so there were three councils up here, the Northland Regional Council, Whangarei District Council and the Kaipara District Council.
Okay.
So we initiated petitions for all three councils.
Okay. And what were the newspapers?
The Northern Advocate and the Whangarei Leader. Now, the Northern Advocate is an NZME publication and the Leader is a Stuff publication.
So you're basically dealing with the Herald and Stuff and you say, we want to stick a flyer in your newspaper, which is sort of like, I don't know, an advertisement for Pack and Save or Repco or something, that when you open the newspaper, it falls out.
Yep.
And this is calling on people who are of a mind to sign a petition.
Yep. To force their local councils so that they could have a say on the creation of Maori wards.
Got it. So the petition is simply to say, we want this to go to a proper vote rather than just be decided by the council.
Basic democracy.
What you were doing was perfectly legal.
Yep.
You were encouraging people to take part in civic affairs.
Yep.
You were actually calling on the council to give citizens a say. You wanted to pay the newspapers to deliver your call to a petition, and the newspapers refused.
Correct. Yeah, outrageous. outrageous.
Well, it is unbelievable. Because
it's not like Rodney, that we didn't even have any editorial content attached to it. Like, there was no opinion expressed. It was simply the petition form. That was it.
Oh, my goodness.
Just unbelievable. Well, so that's what we have found, and I'm sure others have found the same as well. So, you know, we knew then that we are never going to get our message across through the mainstream media.
I want to, we've got plenty of time, Frank, if you've got time. I just want to explore this. How did they communicate to you that they wouldn't do this?
They said it was inconsistent with their editorial policy.
And who was it in the organization?
I can't remember, Rodney. Yeah, I can't remember who.
Okay. Did you contest it?
I can't recall. I probably did. I usually do when these things arise. But, you know, at the end of the day, we just reverted to other mechanisms.
Sure, but it's pretty scary because you can imagine, being a candidate for council and them not taking your advertisements because they disagree with your policy stance is inconsistent with their editorial policy.
Yeah. Look, the excuse they could use in any situation. It's so generic.
Yeah.
And so ridiculous, you know.
It's horrendous, isn't it? It is. And of course, we see this with Family First wanting to run ads. We see it with Hobson Pledge wanting to run ads. The shutdown of quite reasonable positions is extraordinary to me and unfathomable, particularly when you're in a small community where sort of everyone knows each other.
Well, and in our case, it was more so too, because this was a pretty important democratic issue that we were dealing with. It was is how people want their local representatives to be elected. It's very fundamental to local democracy. And as I say, you know, we didn't spin it. There was no editorial content. It was simply what the petition was, the wording of the petition, and an opportunity for people to sign, put their name and sign, and send back to us. That's all it was. So there was absolutely no justification to say it's against the editorial policy. Is their policy not to promote local democracy now? It was just such an absurd situation.
Unbelievable. So you decided to go round them, and how did that? Yeah. What did you do?
Well, we simply did letterbox drops, and we managed to marshal a number of volunteers, essentially. At the end of the day, Rodney, we ended up getting over 15,000 signatures for our petition.
My goodness.
In all three cases with three councils, we achieved more than the 5% of elected voters. We achieved more than the threshold. We got 8.8% in Kaipara. We got 7% roughly in each of the other two. So it was quite a substantial result at the end of the day, but it did require a lot of work. Many people, you know, knocking door to door, stopping people in the streets, etc. So we worked out a workaround around the mainstream media. But spinning from that is we said, well, we've got a bigger problem, because if they're going to stop us from expressing basic democratic right, you know, and advocating for people to participate in their local democracy, then we've got a serious problem, because they'll stop us on other issues as well. So from that, we decided that we would start a broadsheet publication. It's simply an A4 publication printed two sides, which we call Letterbox. And we started that, and what we now do is distribute directly to letterboxes in the district. And it's an interesting way that this has evolved, Rodney, because it's a nice system nice approach that I think that could be duplicated by communities all over the country if they wished. So what we do is, so essentially I write it, I do a draft based on that people suggest, and then I publish that up on our website, on our letterbox website, and people download it onto their, you know, they print it off on home computers, and then they distribute to their local neighbourhood. So we've, in effect, marshalled, so we've marshalled the power of the people, if you like, and it's the people's press. So I don't even know, you know, who the distributors are. It just goes, so many people download it and distribute to their local communities. It, you know, we don't coordinate the distribution. We simply create the material, and the public out there, they distribute. And that's why it works so well, because it's local people distributing into local letterboxes in their community. They do it on their own time. You know, as I say, there's no coordination from our part. So it's a very cost-effective way of doing it too, because it actually costs nothing. I write it for free, and they download it on their printers, and they distribute for free.
And, I mean, what would be your expectation that a person's printing off, say, 100 pages and delivering 100?
Yeah, I'm not sure, Rodney. I know the sense I get is that I think there'd be about 10,000 distributed.
No! 10,000?
10,000. Yeah, 10,000 being distributed by people throughout the community every time we put an issue out, which is about once a month at the moment.
That's huge.
In fact, it's probably the distribution is probably as much as the Northern Advocate newspaper. So, you know, and that's, as I say, you can work around these things. Yeah, it's pretty massive. And the feedback we're getting is just absolutely tremendous. It's working. And there's a bit of a formula as to why it works, but it is working. And we're essentially going to gear it up between now and the next local body election in October next year. And we'll probably have it coming out more frequently with more content. As an example, what we're going to add at the moment is the voting record of local councillors. So by the time the election comes round, people will be able to see how their local councillors have voted and judge them on their actions and not be weasel words. So, you know, and that's part of the power of it all. We're providing content that the mainstream media are not providing. And that's why.
Extraordinary. Extraordinary. That's incredibly powerful. 10,000 households. Have you got a hazard a guess at what percentage of households that is in the district?
Oh, I'm not sure. Even I would say, well, the urban area is probably about 20, 30,000 households, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Man.
Something
and
like
tell
that,
me,
around 20,000 households.
Tell me, the letter, the email goes out, whose name does it travel out under?
It's Democracy Northland. So we publish it under Democracy Northland. We don't, you know, we're quite open about who is producing material. I'm quite open that I actually end up writing it at the end of the day. And so that's fine. There's nothing secretive about it. It's all up front. And, yep, it's...
And Democracy...
It's all out there.
Democracy Northland, is it a charitable group or trust or what is its structure?
No, we've actually got no legal structure as such. It's basically... a group of us, you know, when this Mary Ward's thing first came up, there's just a group of concerned individuals really got together. And we've got the likes of John Bain, who is the spokesperson for the group. John is well known in the community of regional councillor, a very well respected community leader. So we've got some great people involved, some good minds, and so it's just concerned individuals, very active in local body matters.
I just Googled you and I see you. I see you're on Facebook, right?
Yep.
Democracy Northland. Is that where your newsletter is online?
No, it's the Letterbox newsletter itself is on. It's a blog called Letterbox. So if you were to go, try to find the link. So it's letterbox-nz blogspot.com. So letterbox-nz.blogspot.nz. Yeah, so that's the website where the content that we produce in the paper copy, that's where that all ends up. Now, in addition to the paper copy, what we're doing, of course, is building up a sizable email list. So people, if they want to receive it electronically, they obviously go onto our email list, and then I send them a printable PDF version of the newsletter as soon as it comes out. So in time, I'm expecting that email list will become quite significant. Again, obviously, it's a hell of a lot easier sending out an email than marshalling the group of peers to distribute material. So, you know, that's where we're headed, I think, in the longer term. It'll be a very sizable email list building.
I've got it now. Letterbox. How they voted? Download Letterbox ready to home print. If I click on that, will that pop up?
And that'll give you all of the back issues.
I need access.
Yeah, and the current ones.
How they voted, 565,000 to host a New Zealand Warriors game. Local government New Zealand and the Wonga District Council, the price of membership. How they voted, a 17%. A 17.2% rate increase, and on it goes, right? That's August. Wow. And how do you roadside art update? This is fantastic, Frank.
Yes. So a lot of the information we extract from the online agendas, the council agendas in the minutes. But I also ask quite a few questions under the Official Information Act. And, for example, there's an article there about the cost of... Council's just completed a roundabout in town, and in the centre of it, they put a nice Mary artwork. So I obviously asked, well, how much did that cost? And was able to find out a lot of detail that you'd never read about.
And you've got all the councillors there and how they voted on issues.
Yep.
So the council votes to spend $565,000 to host a New Zealand Warriors game. The motion that council approves operating expenses funding of $350,000 in year one and $215,000 in year two of the long-term plan to provide an opportunity for council to exclusively host an NRL game featuring the New Zealand Warriors in 2025 at the Northland Event Centre.
Yeah. Well, this is it, Rodney. We've just had a 17.2% rate increase.
$500,000 to pay the Warriors to play a game.
Yeah. Well, that's where our rate increase money is going.
And only Councillor Holmes requested his vote against the motion to be recorded. So what you're doing is telling the voters how their rates money is being spent and who voted for it.
Yeah. So it's all there in black and white. So, you know, so when the election comes around, we're going to be publishing the full voting record of each councillor. So part, one of our letterbox issues will be, for example, in Green Bay area, we'll be releasing the voting record of the councillors who are seeking re-election. We'll be telling people exactly how they vote. It's, you know, at each election, they just give us a bunch of weasel words and lies at these words. So we're going to say, but hold on, here's your record. This is what you should be judged on.
Here we go.
We're doing through the letterbox.
Local Government New Zealand and the Whangarei. Do we call it Whangarei or Whangarei?
Well, I call it Whangarei because I always
Okay, I'm cool with that. Local Government New Zealand and the Whangarei District Council, the price of membership. So Local Government New Zealand is sort of their lobby group, and outrageously ended up pushing government propaganda under the last government. The Whangarei District Council has never disclosed the membership fees it pays to Local Government New Zealand. The union speaks for councils, but in recent years has failed to represent the majority view of councils, Three Waters being an example, because Local Government New Zealand just swallowed the government line hook, line, and sinker. At a council meeting on the 23rd of May, the Whangarei District Council decided to remain a member. We've been told some councillors considered the amount of money involved was not significant enough to warrant a review. On a go, and then we find out that it costs $105,786 annually to be a member. And no one, no ratepayer would know that if it wasn't for your letterbox, right?
That's correct, yeah.
And here we have the council votes to increase general rates by 17%. And you say, who voted for that? And you've got all the councillors who voted for that. And you've got the councillors who voted against.
Clearly they think, you know, being a member of paying 100 grand to be a member of the local council union is more important than a rate increase.
Yeah.
So it's horrendous stuff, really, and it does expose what councils are really up to, not what they say they're up to.
Oh, my goodness. Can I read this out? so good, Frank. In the June issue of Letterbox, we promised to report back on who required the $104,605 plus GST archway artwork in the middle of the roundabout at the intersection of Port Road and, I can't pronounce it, Kiori Rory Road?
Yeah.
We now know the consent condition arose from discussions between the council, Parks Department, and Tangata Whenua. Now, this archway is literally that. It's just an archway. It's just steel beams, right?
Yeah, two sticks of steel.
Two sticks of steel and what are they? On a roundabout.
The roundabout in an industrial area. It's not like it's the main tourist route either.
But it looks like nothing. It doesn't look artistic or anything. We now, in addition to the archway, the resource consent conditions authorise local Māori to monitor earthworks, consult on the landscaping, bear in mind this is a roundabout in an industrial zone, and perform... I'm sorry to laugh at your money being wasted. And perform ceremonial events. Not one event, several ceremonial events for an ugly archway and a roundabout and an industrial zone. Under the Official Information Act, we requested details on how much those services cost. Whangarei District Council's Roading Division has replied that the total paid to four individuals from a local hapu was $80,402. Oh, my goodness. Four individuals got paid by the council over 20K each for their involvement, no work, in this horrible archway in an industrial zone. This includes $49,632 for Kaitiaki monitoring. Cultural design input to the landscaping design and blessings of the site. And $37,770 for land form consulting.
We, in addition to that, Rodney, is $104,000 for the artwork itself.
So that ugly thing cost ratepayers a couple of hundred K.
Well, the artwork itself was $104,000 plus GST. And then quite separately, you had all these cultural issues going on. It cost another $87,402. So, you know, with earthworks monitoring, so presumably these four blokes were sitting there waiting for bones to be discovered or something in this industrial area. And I guess on the landscaping consulting, they came up with the idea that they should plant some Pornites lilies and some Lamandras and, you know, to, and do a few blessings, and that cost another, $87,000. But this is the problem, Robin. You know, see, this will be going on in every council around the country, and it's done under the radar. So I'm pretty sure that councillors wouldn't even be aware of this expenditure, because when they get the cost of the roundabout presented to them for approval, it'll be a total figure, and it will be staff talking with the local Papua Niwi about what the consent condition should be, and it won't come before councillors. So this is probably news to councillors as well. And the important thing about it is that this sort of on-the-side dealing, if you like, funding, cultural concerns, is going on within the roading budget, in local councils, and probably on a national level as well with the state highways. So, you know, it's an area that is sitting under the radar, not detected. And certainly you won't read about this in the mainstream media.
I am speechless, Frank. I can't believe. Carry on.
This is one of the things, Rodney, about what the Letterbox publication is doing. It is exposing stuff that you will not see in the mainstream media, and that's why it's gaining traction. People say, hey, we didn't know this stuff was going on. They're saying, we didn't know that the council was paying 160 grand or whatever it is post the damn Warriors game. Well, just bust them to Auckland if they want to go and see a Warriors game. It's not all that far. And, you know, so it's just crazy stuff going on that you just don't read about in the mainstream.
I wonder if the councillors even know.
Oh, they certainly knew about the Warriors game. They won't, because they had to vote on it. This roading budget one, that they would not see it. And so my obvious question is, well, how much in total are cultural concerns costing Whangarei ratepayers each year? You know, I'd like to know that figure, because I've just had a 17.2% rate increase. I've just opened up my damn rates notice, and now I'm paying a hell of a lot more this year than I did last year, and I want to know why. And I'm happy that it's been wasted on rubbish like this. You know, the Chris Luxon the other day said that, you know, he expected councils to do what they're doing at central government, and that's do a line-by-line review of expenditure. Well, our council, when it did its review, it actually added items to spend. It didn't take them away. There's a serious problem going on here in local council.
I can see why your letterbox, it's very punchily written. I mean, it's better than reading the Herald. I'm addicted to reading it now. It's better than reading the Herald. And it's better written. but it's powerful information. So how do you get feedback from people reading it, Frank?
Oh, they just email me. So we've got the email address plastered all over there, Rodney. And so they just give me feedback. They're now sending me suggestions as to what topics should be covered. So it's really quite good.
How much work is it for you?
It's a bit of work. So I really have to keep thinking about it, because thinking what issues will be relevant, because it is quite important to have issues that will resonate, and not just issues that, you know, crazy people go on about, but issues that ordinary folk want to read about, and written in a way that is very concise. Because I've only got 2 pages, Rodney, so I haven't got a lot of space. So I've got to make every word count, and it's, every word's got to mean something, and it's got to be factual. And, you know, so hopefully there's value in the content and not just words.
Do you go along and sit in on the meetings?
No, I don't have to, because I live streamed anyway.
I see.
But to be honest, I find the live stream boring. It reminded me how boring it was when I was a counsellor. So I just look at the minutes as published, and that's enough for me, because usually there are staff reports attached that are quite helpful. And if there are gaps, I just do the information requests. So, you know, there's a lot to be learned from the council agendas, which I'm convinced the mainstream media never look at either.
So, and, of course, you've got a financial background, so you can do numbers.
Yeah, I'm an accountant, so I can read their balance sheets, basically.
And I doubt the average councillor has a grasp on the numbers.
No, I think there's a lot of stuff that goes on with council that they just take for granted. You know, the finances, they will take the word of the staff. Certainly district plan issues, they have very little involvement with. It's all left staff to do. So, you know, I tend to think that staff have got the better of councillors in many ways. They tend to give councillors the stuff that can occupy their time, like dog policies and stuff like that, while they get on and do the serious business without councillors really knowing. That goes on. And so, yeah, it's interesting, Rodney, and we're working towards, you know, the next election, because this is going to be a critical local body election next year. You know, we know the Greenies and the Radicals are going to try to gain control or power within the councils and moving in that direction. So we need to be there to expose them and out them.
Mm.
And we need to be there to focus in on the important issues.
Will you field candidates yourself as a group?
No. We decided we're not going to do that. The last election, we supported candidates. So we put out our recommendations, if you like, to our supporters as to who we think should be supported, based on democratic principles. So we're all about democracy and allowing people to have their say. So we don't really judge people on their policies. Generally, we say, well, look, if you embrace democracy, if you want to engage the local community in decision making, then we'll support you. That's pretty much us. We've got a very simple mandate in many respects, because we have faith that the community will make the right decision for them. And whatever that decision may be, we'll go along with that, providing it's done in a democratic fashion. You know, one person, one vote, all votes are equal, all voices are respected. That's it. So, endorse people. We will be endorsing people again, and we'll be encouraging people to stand again. We're doing so already, actually. We're telling people that, look, if you want to make a real change, it's time to stand up and get your voice and stand up because it is actually a great experience being a counsellor too. But he's been bored for 6 years, and you know, you can make a change, and we've seen that in Kaipara. They have made a change, and they are standing up and making a difference.
Do you know Mark Antrim?
No, I don't.
I have funny. I'd have to put the two of you in touch, because he goes along to the Kaipara District Council meetings and sits in on them and harasses them about their numbers, and similar to what you're doing in a way, but he's writing directly to the council. This could be replicated around New Zealand for every council, right?
I believe so. You know, look, I'm quite happy to advise people or give my thoughts on how it could be duplicated in their particular area. Obviously, I can't at the time to write it, but certainly I can give them some advice on why it's worked for us and how it could work for them. Very happy to do that. Because it is extremely powerful, and we do have to talk about ways how we can get around the mainstream media and reach out to people. And this is certainly working for us.
Well, I love it because it's local and people feel it. They feel their rates and they can see that archway. That archway is just, it's the old story. It's the sort of little things that you can see and you can touch that really get your goat. The government can waste billions of dollars and you'd think, oh, yeah, big number. But when you see 49,632 dollars for Kaitiaki monitoring and cultural design and blessings, and 87,000 in total going to four individuals from the local sub-tribe, that just makes you spitting angry.
Yes.
Do you know those four individuals?
No, I don't, Rodney. No.
It's a funny thing, right? Because if I was a local Maori paying rates, I'm trying to think how I would interpret it. Would I go, high five, bro, you pulled a fast one there? Or would I say, you dirty, cheating sod?
Well, I guess it depends if they're paying rates, Rodney.
Oh, that's true. Tell me, how long have you been going with Letterbox?
Just over a year. So I think we started in April last year, from memory.
Have you had any feedback from the mayor, councillors, or the chief executive?
Some councillors have been in touch. They have.
And are they councillors that are on the right side of the ledger in terms of being in favour of democracy?
Yes, that's right. It's the councillors that have been in touch are the ones that support Letterbox. I have not heard any. I've not had any feedback from councillors who we criticise. They haven't responded at all. I should say, from council.
You're hitting about 30% of the households with these, right?
Yeah, I'll guess. Yeah.
What would be the turnout for the vote?
Well, the vote in our district would be around the 45%. It'd be between 45 and 50, 50 on a good day. But I would guess about 45.
And the people that are receiving this and reading this will be voters.
Yes.
So you're hitting...
That's right, Robert.
You're hitting every month possibly 80% of the voters. If I was a councillor or the mayor or the CEO, I'd be and I was on the wrong side of this ledger, I'd be extremely worried.
Yeah, the thing about this letterbox, Rodney, is that you don't have to cover the whole district. Be effective because of the low turnout. And we generally know the suburbs or areas of high turnout. So all you need to do is focus in on those areas because the others, to be honest, are a waste of time. They don't vote anyway.
Mm.
So you can actually be very effective and use your resources efficiently by focusing in on key areas. And you could cover a third or a quarter and be very effective by doing that.
I see here, tell us about this one, about the Hunter Twosser. The report says, quote, a significant number of submissions were received. Most were against supporting the Hunter Twosser financially. Despite this, the Whangarei District Council voted to give an additional $960,000 in funding.
Mm.
What's this?
That's the museum, if you like, by the Austrian artist, Friedrich Hundertwasser. It's been very controversial here. It's a funny building. It's very artistic, the architecture of the building. You either like it or you hate it. But it cost $30 million to build, and it was really sold to the public on the basis that there'd be no additional ratepayer funding. The local council contributed the land for the value of around $2 or $3 million was the council's total contribution. And it was sold to the public on the basis that that would be it, that's the end of it, and it'd be self-funding thereafter. Well, the thing is operating now as a museum, and it is bleeding money, to be honest. It's bleeding about $1 million a year. And instead of trying to sort the key problem, they simply have turned to ratepayers and said, well, ratepayers will fund the deficit. And that's why the issue is so hot, is because people feel as though they've been cheated and betrayed by the council. And instead of sorting the problem, doing a proper business case analysis of it, they have simply taken the easy way out and asked, well, not even asked, but they've just taken money from ratepayers, again, in the context of a 17.2% rate increase. So that's why that's a big issue for people, and it is. It is a major issue, and it's a major failing of this current council that they have just simply thrown money at the problem and not dealt with the problem.
Well, I've got the picture up here of it. It looks bloody ugly to me.
Yeah, you either like it or you don't. It's very different.
And it's costing half a million or a million a year potentially to the council.
The deficit is $1 million a year as it stands at the moment. And that is because it was supposed to attract like 200,000 visitors a year. It's attracting about 40,000 on a good year. So it's just a fraction of what was promised. So, and that is essentially the problem.
And here we go. This is again from your letter. There was one submission on Maori engagement. On the strength of that one submission, the council granted an additional $1.15 million over 10 years to pay Maori to consult with the council.
Yeah. Look, Rodney, when I was on council every year, the local iwi used to knock on the door and say, oh, we need some money so we can talk to you guys. And every year when I was on council, we said, yeah, thanks very much, but no thanks. Well, now they've finally found a weak council that said yes. So on the strength of that one submission, ratepayers are now paying $1.1 million over 10 years so the local iwi can come and consult on things like the resource consents. Well, you probably know as well as I do, Rodney, how that works. So if you apply for a resource consent, locally we must be consulted. And if they feel it necessary, they will have the applicant prepare a cultural assessment report at the applicant's cost, of course. So Maori can decide whether it's going to be a bit of an issue for them. So it's a money spinner for Maori anyway. And now we're paying Maori to be consulted so they can create an income stream. This thing is just so bizarre. And that's on the strength of one submission, probably from Maori, I'm guessing, probably from the same iwi that used to consult when I was on council. So this is just crazy stuff, you see. So it's just, has allowed the woke councillors on our local council to actually pay the $1 million to Maori. That's all it's done. Yet on the other hand, you know, 87% of people said, or 87 to 90% of submitters disagreed with the 17.2% rate increase, yet they did it anyway. This is just not local democracy. This is rubbish. Bizarre crap.
And of course, it's not Maori as a whole that are benefiting from this. It'll be a bunch of Maori who are getting $100,000 a year to consult with the council. They'll then get paid to do a input into a resource consent that looks juicy, and then they'll decide some conditions and get paid more. And then they'll turn up to oversee the earthworks and to bless the site and get paid more.
Exactly. It's a wonderful money-making machine. You know, they're onto a fantastic rule.
But, of course, with you there and your supporters and this letterbox, people are reading about it.
Yeah. Now we can expose it. Yeah.
Well, there you go, everyone.
You won't read it in the mainstream media. Look, they won't even print our damn petitions. They're certainly not going to print that stuff, are they?
No. Here you go, everyone. We'll put a link on the replay, but it's letterbox-nz.blogspot.com. It's astonishing. It's actually a great read. I live about as far away from Whangarei District Council as you can imagine, and I'm angry reading it. It's so appalling because it's sort of numbers I can get my head around and understand and things that I can see and touch and feel. I'd love something like this. We've got Crux going down here, which is on Facebook, a sort of newspaper. But they have Crux at the local council, but they don't get into the numbers like Letterbox does. Letterbox is saying, this is what this is costing. This is what this is happening. And Crux tends to be more once over lightly. We definitely need something like this, holding our council to account. I love it, Frank. Well done.
Well, with Letterbox, Rodney, it's very hard to argue against it because it's so factual, you know. And that's all we're doing here. It's just presenting the facts and people can judge for themselves.
And, of course...
And as I say, Rodney, I'm very happy to assist others if they wish to
We'll put a link, and anyone that's listening that wants to get in touch with Frank, you'll be able to contact him through Letterbox. Good work, Frank. And, of course, while you're a young man, there are a lot of retired people with the skills, accountants and lawyers and analysts, who could readily do the analysis, and there's wordsmiths that could write it up, and this could be replicated up and down the country, and it would actually transform New Zealand.
I believe so. You know, and we've got a great opportunity at the next election. But certainly the Maori wards issue is going to be the topic of debate. And I think that will spill out over onto the election of councillors generally. So there are some really big issues coming up, and they need to be debated properly because, you know, both sides of the argument on the Maori ward issue will need to be canvassed. And I don't think we're going to get both sides in the mainstream media. We'll get the normal nonsense I've been reading for years on this issue. And it's just lies and misinformation. We need to get some truth out there.
Oh, I just had to have a cough. I'm sorry. Oh, there you go. That's Frank Newman, famous for being Muriel Newman's husband, the best prime minister we've never had, in my view. Writing Letterbox, holding the local council to account. Absolutely. Great job. If we could replicate this in a few other places, what a difference it would make. We'll provide a link, but you can find it Letterbox. I've given the email. I'll do it one last time because it is so good. Let me find it. Here we go. Letterbox-nz.blogspot.com. Fantastic, Frank. Well done.
Rodney, thank you.
That was Frank Newman up there in the Whangarei District Council tyranny. You can send me a text, 2057. Email me on inbox@rallycheck.radio. What a marvellous initiative that is.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.